years ago, Jimmy O'Donnell was working in a pub in Cheltenham. He was 80 at the time, and his life was about to change in a way that he could never have foreseen. Jimmy received a phone call and in it discovered that he had a brother, Frederick. No idea. And that Frederick wasn't just in existence, he was looking for Jimmy. Well, Jimmy was over the moon, and for the next 5 years, the two brothers would meet up every month and enjoy precious time together. Well, sadly, the story does have a bittersweet ending because Jimmy lost his life to COVID-19 last month. Well, the brothers were brought together, though, by probate genealogist firm Finders International, and MD Danny Curran is on the line now. Hello, good morning to you.
Morning, Anna.
It's a remarkable, obviously, it's a poignant and sad story as well, but it's a remarkable story. So take us back to the beginning, if you will, Danny. How did you get involved?
Yeah, so this story appeared in the press as a small appeal on behalf of Fred's family, trying to trace Jimmy, who they didn't know where he was. They didn't know anything about him, really. So we had to go back to the roots, to the history side, the genealogy, and work out who was connected to who by looking at Irish indexes and Irish records.
Freddie knew about Jimmy then, but Jimmy didn't know about Freddie. Is that right, Frederick?
Exactly. Right. And it was actually that the niece, in other words, Fred's daughter, Teresa, was the one who kind of instigated all the searches because she thought it'd be great for her dad to reconnect with her brother. And the history of this goes back to what's known as forced adoption in Ireland. So their mother was deemed a sinner by the church. This went on to the 1970s and 80s, this kind of behaviour. But she was sent to work in the laundries as an unmarried mother. And her children were taken off her and separated. There's a quite a well-known Philomena that talks about this kind of issue. But this is a real life, another real life example of this happening. So Fred went off to live his life. Jimmy went off to live his life. Fred ended up in Bradford in Yorkshire, and Jimmy moved to Cheltenham. And then after nearly 80 years apart, we managed to track Jimmy down to his place of work. And what an amazing character he was. He's a lovely man. It was all filmed for the BBC, the reunion. And it was a great part of the job, because normally at Finders International is normally about tracing heirs to estates, beneficiaries. There's normally some money involved.
Sure.
This one we did free of charge. We did it because we liked the story. We've got an office in Ireland, and we thought it would be something very special to give to the family.
Which indeed,
which it
of
was,
course,
and it was
absolutely
amazing.
Yes, it's totally amazing. And as you say, normally via BBC Air Hunters and stuff like Finders International, you're working your magic to find people, but there is normally an estate, some money involved, and it all appears to be so not straightforward, but you've got all the magic at your fingertips. So the way that you do it as an organisation, is that something that anybody else, the documentation's out there, but you just got to know where to look? Or is it things that you have abilities that, have allowed you to find things that other people just couldn't find?
Yeah, I mean, well, personally, I've been doing this nearly 30 years, and I started in the pre-internet era, where it was huge leather-bound books held in St. Catherine's House and the Family Records Centre in London. So you'd have to travel to London and wade your way manually through these oversized telephone directories and look for names and details. And then it moved to microfiche, then it moved to the internet. And the thing is, now there's a lot of errors on the transcriptions on the internet, so you have to kind of keep your wits about you and look for information that might be a bit misleading in the way it's transcribed online. So we've been through a lot of changes. It's a very popular hobby, genealogy. But you look at some of the information that's on websites online, and that's a bit sketchy as well. So we're doing it from a legal perspective. We have to prove entitlement. So it needs to be accurate and fully documented. And some of the cases can get very, very complicated.
So how easy was it to find Jimmy then?
Well, Jimmy, as I say, we had to go back to the original records to find birth certificates.
Yes.
And the funny thing was that when he passed away in the hospital in Cheltenham, we had to virtually do it all again, because the hospital wouldn't believe that Fred was Jimmy's brother after he died without proof. So we had to again go and get the proof and resubmit it. So we kind of did the whole exercise again. But, you know, Jimmy was an amazing guy, and it was a pleasure to work with the family. And they're such a lovely group of people. He had a great way with words, Jimmy. He was. We got some lovely quotes from him.
Got any to hand?
Well, his famous one on TV, which might sound a bit sexist, so I apologise in advance. But he was asked about why he never married, and he said, "Well, the thing is, I found that women can be quite expensive."
So you were the one, were you, that called Jimmy to say that he had this brother and he was actively looking for him? Was that you that made that call? And I wonder what the reaction was.
No, we gave the honour to Teresa, who rang him up, and his niece, and just said, "Jimmy, it's the Teresa. Can I call you Uncle Jimmy?" And he was just over the moon, because he's such a, like I said, funny guy, really nice character, much loved character. He said sometimes he sat at home and he cried his eyes out because he felt he was all alone in the world. He didn't have any family, and he said, I've got someone now that belongs to me, and I feel part of something. And there, you know, it's funny now, you look back at the footage of this that was filmed, and they immediately went into the pub apparently, and Fred just walked up to him, tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Hello, brother." And he just turned, that was it. They were inseparable from that moment onwards. So they had fun. And it's nice for us, because often we're contacting people after someone's passed away. We've had cases during COVID where someone's died of the virus, and we've had to contact the family to tell them that someone has died, but also they can't go to the funeral, and to inform them of the death in their family, ostensibly to enable the funeral to take place. But this was lovely, because we actually were able to do something and put people together, and they had 5 great years, you know, and I think, I like to think that Jimmy left the world a happier man than he was 5 years ago.
Well, certainly from what was said, that is without doubt. And they built a really strong relationship in that time. They didn't hang about. They got on with that amazing sort of, you know, brotherly love thing very quickly, it seems, and very strongly.
Yeah, the warmth was there immediately. And when we hear so many stories of social isolation, families drifting apart, and we're often surprising people with the news of a death or an inheritance. But this one, as I say, had a different twist to it. There was no money, but it was all about the family getting back together. And the Irish connection is something that's close to us as well, with our office in Dublin. So it was a joy to be able to help. We do these things from time to time if we see a story that looks interesting, and we feel we can be of assistance to the family.
Well, Jimmy, as I say, passed away deeply ironically from COVID-19 just a few weeks ago. Were the brothers able to say their goodbyes?
Well, they're not really. Apparently there's going to be a memorial service. It was the same sort of thing that they had contact with him regularly. He was in a care home, and obviously he, you know, when he passed away, he was in the care home in hospital. So, you know, the family couldn't unfortunately be with him at that moment, and that's the very sad thing that's been happening, you know, in thousands of cases. But and we have been helping out with that. We've been contacted by hospitals trying to trace next of kin and get things moving along, because often when people go into hospital, they give their next of kin as a friend or someone who's not technically related. So we have to kind of make sure we've got the right people, that the hospital can then arrange the funeral, or, you know, to put it in basic terms, to have the space moved from the morgue, because the hospitals have a lot of bodies to deal with. And this is part of the essential chain of what they call death management, to find the next of kin to get the body cremated or buried and as soon as possible. So it's been a bit grim in recent months, but for every time we do this, we're actually often the ones giving the bittersweet news. As you said earlier, it's like someone's passed away, but, you know, you've inherited, you know, $1 million from someone you never knew, or whatever sum of money it happens to be.
Well, I know that Jimmy was an active member of the local Baptist church. He was in the nursing home in his final months and he encouraged everybody to sing, apparently. He was loved and adored by staff, they say, and residents of the home and obviously the family. And Frederick, I'm sure, taking some comfort in that. This is sort of taken a different turn for you then, really, not just sort of this particular case, but the way things are at the moment. Everything's changing in many ways for what you're doing and why you're doing it and the speed with which you need to do it then.
Well, exactly, yeah. I mean, we wouldn't, all the contact tracing, that's a completely different thing. So that's not our field, but we are involved. We work a lot with hospitals, local authorities, coroners, where they have, you know, cases where there may or may not be some money involved, but we do the work anyway to help them out. And we've been contacting a lot of next of kin, putting them in touch with the, often it's the local authority who have to organise what they call a pauper's funeral, which doesn't necessarily mean the person doesn't have any money. They're actually called Public Health Act funerals, where there's an obligation for a funeral to be arranged in the absence of any next of kin. But before you get to that point, obviously it's quite nice to try and find next of kin. And sometimes, you know, a pauper's funeral is arranged and goes ahead, despite the person having quite a large estate, but there's no one there to access the money for the estate for the funeral. So it's a kind of chain of events that we try and, if we're involved, we can hopefully make things happen in a much smoother and a much more compassionate way.
Yeah, and is there a time scale? Obviously, after the funeral, you will search for somebody beyond that, and for how long, or you've got to call it quits at some point, I guess.
Yeah, well, we had one case. The beauty for us is that if there's no one comes forward, it might eventually go to the Crown. So people seem to come to us, you know, they find our name. We're reasonably well known following Air Hunters and our presence as a large company. But we work internationally as well. So you have cases where it leads all over the world. But you have a situation recently where someone contacted us because he said, I was never told for sure, but this guy who's died and been buried now, I'm sure he's my father. Mm. And there was over a million due to go to the Crown. And so we actually had to wait all winter, but the only way we could do it was to exhume the body.
Oh, no. Oh, really? Oh, gosh.
Yep. So we funded everything, and then we're paid a percentage if we get it right and successful. So this guy said, look, you know, we had to wait. You can't exhume bodies in the middle of winter, apparently. So you learn things in this
random
job as you go along. they exhumed the body. They took some scrapings from the skeleton and had it analysed. And it turned out they always come up with these odds after DNA testing. This, it was 58 million times more likely to be his son than not. So that's quite good evidence, isn't it?
That is quite good evidence.
So now, but yeah, the claim can now go ahead and he can inherit his father's estate.
Good Lord. Wow, what interesting work you're doing right up my street, I have to say. From the BBC's Air Hunters TV series, which is fascinating in itself. Finders International, trying to find people normally because of an estate that's been left, but nobody knows who to. And then they find out the surviving relatives. But in this instance, did it just be able to bring the brothers together, and they did indeed succeed. So obviously very sad that Jimmy O'Donnell's passed away then in Cheltenham. But the point was that he did have 5 years then with his brother Fred. They had no idea up to that point even existed.